Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Well, hello and welcome everyone on today's broadcast. Today is August 26, 2023, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us for our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We encourage you to get a piece of paper and a pen and your Bible, because you will need it today in order to follow along. And we, again, encourage active participation. So I just will remind everyone that if you want to call in and ask a question, you may call in at 646-716-8390, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. Dr. Don is on the phone. Mike is just about to walk through the door. Oh, he has walked through the door. Hi. I'll have coffee for you in just a minute.
He entered like a thief.
He entered like a thief. By the way, if you want mugs, they're up there, and I'll get you the creamer in a minute. We also want to remind you of our websites. Primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net, and there you will find loads and loads of good reading by Rick Sterling, a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. And that is a primary site for you to go to find information about the writings of our group here. We have a secondary website that is the spiritoftruthministry.net/SOT. SOT stands for Spirit of Truth. This is our original website. We will probably in the future start updating that, but right now we don't, because we are all so busy with other things in our lives at the moment. Hopefully soon we will be able to go full time in this and do a little more work on our social media issues. We also have a Facebook page at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for being merciful to us by giving us your Spirit to teach us the things that we need to know the truth and fulfill the promise of the kingdom of God here on earth. I thank you, Father, for granting not only peace, but insight and comprehension about what we are listening to and what we are learning. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, you are going to have to dislodge her. Mike is getting ready to sit down at our table, but my little black cat has taken over. First, she took over Larry's chair, and now she took over Mike's chair and has been evicted. So,
she didn't protest, though.
No, she didn't protest too much. Anyway, good morning, Don. How are you today?
Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
It is certainly that. Are you ready for a good study?
Nice and warm.
I'm ready for a barn burner.
Well, we'll see what happens here.
Oh, I left my matches at home.
You left your matches at home. How about flamethrowers? Anyway,
Those two.
And good morning, Rick. It is lovely seeing all of you here today.
Welcome, everyone. I hope that you had a chance to listen to this presentation yesterday, because it will tie in today. And what I'm doing is tying everything together that I have delivered a little bit broken up here, there, and everywhere. I'm trying to pull it all together so that it makes sense, because I think we are right on the doorstep, if you will, of a lot of these things coming to fruition. So I'm starting the study today with the text in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting with verse 15. See, I set before you life and prosperity, death and disaster. Just, I'm going to read that one more time, because that part of the sentence and that part of the whole message is the most important part. God sets before those whom he has called to be his people, those who have answered that call. And so I would say that in today's world, it would be those who profess to believe in and listen to the voice of the true God, God Almighty, who created the world, everything in it, on it, and above it, who created everything the universe holds. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and disaster. If you obey the commandments of Yahweh, your God, that I enjoin on you today, if you love Yahweh, your God, and follow his ways, if you keep his commandments, his laws, his customs, you will live and increase, and Yahweh, your God, will bless you in the land you are entering to make your own. He was saying this to the children of Israel. They did not choose life and prosperity. They chose death and disaster. Now, I'm sure they didn't sit around a table, a conference table, and take a vote. What would we rather have, life and prosperity or death and disaster? I think I can tell you what the vote would be. They voted with their actions. They broke the commandments. They didn't listen to the voice of God. They didn't listen to his prophets. They went their own way, and they worshiped false gods and false worship. God gave them a specific amount of time after their first failure. What I mean by after their first failure was when they had reached the limit of forgiveness. The northern kingdom reached that before the southern kingdom, and the northern kingdom was dispersed throughout all the countries surrounding them. the Southern Kingdom, a few decades later, were also defeated. They were defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they were taken into captivity. Death and disaster is the road they chose. God gave them one more chance to comply with the requirements to be his holy people, his kingdom on earth. And we find that in Daniel chapter 10, chapter 9, sorry. The conditions of compliance are very clearly defined and revealed. Chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 24. "70 weeks are decreed for your people and your holy city." 70 weeks is the limit, the time within which they were to meet all of these requirements for putting an end to transgression, for placing the seals on sin, for expiating crime, for introducing everlasting integrity, for setting the seal on vision and prophecy, for anointing the Holy of Holies. These conditions were to be met within that 70-week period. And since this was given during the time of the operation of the restoration calendar, its operation was founded on the same principle as from creation, where there was one day, seven consecutive days was one week. And a year was one revolution of the earth around the sun, starting at the equinox, the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere. The restoration calendar, one day was a year from spring equinox to spring equinox. Whereas at creation, one day was a 24-hour period, roughly one rotation of the earth from sunset to sunset was one day. Israel failed to meet the requirement of putting an end to transgression, placing seals on sin and prophecy, expiating crime, bringing in everlasting integrity, and anointing the Holy of Holies. So what the king did was he took the kingdom away from the Jews and said that he was offering it to anyone who was willing to comply with the requirements to enter the kingdom, which for all intents and purposes were the same as they were for the children of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 18, starting with verse 7. On occasion, I decree for some nation or some kingdom that I will tear up, knock down, destroy. That's death and destruction. That reality is death and destruction. And God says that on occasion, he decrees that. But if this nation against which I have pronounced sentence abandons its wickedness, I then change my mind about the evil which I had intended to inflict on it. On another occasion, I decree for some nation or some kingdom that I will build up and plant. But if that nation does what displeases me, refusing to listen to my voice, I then change my mind about the good which I had intended to confer on it. So the first condition that is given in that is a decree of death and destruction. That I see as when the Son of God said to his disciples in Matthew 24, where it's recorded, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. People are eating and drinking, marrying and giving and married until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and they knew nothing about it. God has given us clues about what the future will be, what will be occurring in the end of days. And the first one we find in Daniel 2, and I've read this prophecy so many times, I won't read it now, but you know what it says. It is a prophecy about the end of time, the end of days. And it says in there, after describing this great image, which is the kingdom of the world ruled by the evil one, Satan. God's plan has always been to establish a kingdom on earth and defeat the kingdom of the world and its ruler, Satan. But he will not be able to accomplish this until he has a kingdom on earth. And in the vision given to Nebuchadnezzar, we see that God tells us he has a kingdom on earth. And as soon as he has a kingdom on earth, he moves to defeat the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the world. And that with the defeat of that kingdom and the elements of that kingdom are turned into fine dust, and the wind blows the dust away, that God's kingdom, this little stone, absorbs all the other nations and kingdoms into it, which causes it to grow until it fills the whole earth, so that God once more is the God and ruler of the people of earth, and he brings the New Jerusalem here to earth, and he is dwelling here with us, the people created in his image and or created in their image and their likeness. The prophecies in Daniel concern two realities. Prophecies of the life road and prophecies of the death road, but all the prophecies in Daniel talk about the end when judgment occurs, even the one in chapter 9 that deals specifically with the children of Israel, because for them, the judgment came in the form of their king, whom they rejected as their king. And so he took the kingdom away from them. That was their judgment. Now, he didn't block any Israelite from joining, entering his kingdom at the end. What he did was he took away the responsibility from the children of Israel, specifically, opened it up to all those who were willing to meet the requirements to enter it. He gave us a lot of information to let us know what would be happening at the end of time. He said that there would
be. Okay, we're back. I don't know.
When did we go off?
Just a second ago.
Okay, well.
I stopped you when it.
These things happen, and it seems to happen right when we're doing the most important studies. So the Elijah type prophet is the trustworthy and wise enough servant that we also talked about yesterday. God knew that the people of earth would not be in a state of wickedness like the people were before the flood. Because we were told, or we are told, that the soul, which in Genesis is called the heart, which is the soul, the intellect, everyone on earth at the time just before the flood was to wickedness and evil only. The soul was impervious to anything good, anything truthful, anything righteous. In fact, we're told that the only righteous person at the time of the flood was Noah. We are not told that his wife was righteous, that his sons were righteous, and that their wives were righteous. We are told that Noah was the only righteous person. And I believe that God spared Noah's family for obvious reasons, that Noah would not agree to go build the ark, et cetera, and leave his family behind. And it would stand to reason that after the flood and when people started to disperse, the offspring of Noah and his, and their families would start to move across the earth into the various places. They probably stay in one particular place, like it's described in around the Tower of Babel in the plain of Shinar, that there would be willingness to listen to the voice of the evil one. Today, the people of Earth are for the most part caring about their neighbor.
They are not abjectly and permanently evil.
And there are those who worship the God, they would say the God of the Bible, and I would say, yeah, the God of some of the Bible, the God of the law, the prophets, and the testimony of the Son of God, but they profess a belief in God even though they don't know God. Not the way God needs us to know them. So I can say with assurance that because of what God has said about two realities which are always offered to those who worship God, death and destruction, or life and prosperity, the people have, through their actions and their worship, chosen the road of life and prosperity. And just as God, through his prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, gave two realities to the children of Israel. Information that was specifically on one or the other, the life or the death realities. He has done the same for us. In the case of the children of Israel, the life realities were never experienced. And many Christians today still look for the life prophecies given for Israel specifically. The children of Israel are looking for their fulfillment. An example is the prophecy of the Valley of Dry Bones that we find in Ezekiel. Israel experienced the death realities, and the king came and took the kingdom away from them. And that ended their role as the special people of God. It didn't end them personally, but it ended them collectively. Now I want to say a little bit about my experience, because I think it's important. In the late 90s, I had been studying for a few years diligently. And I had noted through my understanding of time and how God gave time and the restoration calendar and how it worked, that it might be possible to figure out when the time of the end would start, specifically the part of the time of the end that was included in the restoration calendar, or the time periods given in Daniel and Revelation. I saw that I could see when the time was when the Great Tribulation would end. The bowls of wrath, because the bowls of wrath are judgment that are poured out on the wicked. And the wicked in that sense were all those who accepted the mark of the beast. The way that I was able to do that was the timing of the two witnesses, the timing of the time given to the nations, the Gentiles, and the time from the casting down of the censer. Time, times, and half time. So knowing the time of the Gentiles was 42 months and using the moon as that timepiece, and the time, times, and half a time that would end on the fall equinox, and the number of days that the two witnesses' bodies would lie in the street of the great city before a breath of life came into them from God. I saw that if I looked for a year where there was a new moon within 4 or 5 days after the fall equinox, that could very well be the year, especially if God was using the specific timing that he had always used up to that point. So when I looked for that year, I found it was 2019. And I worked all the time, the lengths of the time periods backwards so that I could find out when they would start. And the first date on that chart was July 11, 2012. Well, I knew that 2012 seemed to be a very significant year. It was the end of the Mayan calendar. And a lot of those who claimed there was time travel, and I'm not saying whether there is or isn't, I'm just saying there are a lot of those who claim to have been involved in time travel, especially the one at Montauk, New York, that whenever they would travel into the future and they hit December 21st, 2012, it was like a speed bump and then white noise for a certain amount of time, and then events started to come clear again. So July 11, 2012 came and went. And I was disappointed. I had determined that that would be the one and only chart that I would make. So I didn't make another one. Still haven't made another one. But I did find it interesting that the deep state participants had set 2019 as the date where they would have complete control of the whole earth. They called it Agenda 209, I believe. 2016 came, and something happened in 2016 which threw them off their schedule. So they had to change it to 2021, or 2020, Agenda 2020, 2021. Because they figured once they got control of the United States again, if they hurried things up really fast, they might be able to have it all said and done by 2021. The problem with 2021 was that it didn't work with the timing that God had given. But these evil people don't give God a second thought. In fact, to them, they see the true, loving, all-powerful God as the devil. I, just for interest, because I knew that from the other things that I had included in my understanding, that things would not work out according to that, what I saw as the death reality plan. But I did want to see when there was a new moon that followed the fall equinox 4 or 5 days. And I saw that the next time that would happen was the year 2030. So you can imagine, I wasn't surprised, but I was not surprised to see that the same ones who had the 2019 agenda that they had to change to the 2020 and the 2020 or 2021 now have Agenda 2030. Interesting. It's almost like they know what time they will get control of the earth. They and their dark ruler, their dark lord, dark master, Satan. And the start of that would have been last month, around the same date in July, the 11th or 12th. So I can say with complete assurance, we are not going through the Great Tribulation such as never has been since there was a nation until that time and never will be again. Because the people of Earth are not wicked. Oh, there are wicked, but they're in the minority, the vast minority. Most of the people of the Earth care about one another, no matter what the deep state would try to have us believe, that we are divided along racial lines, gender lines, national lines, you name it. They'll find differences to the individual, and then they try to pit us against one another. easier to control that way. But we must always remember that God will fight our battles for us, typically by turning the enemy against itself, which reminds me of a line in some of the posts from Q. Never interfere with your enemy when they're in the process of destroying themselves. So that is how I can say with full confidence that we are not going through the Great Tribulation. There will not be a mark of the beast. Although they're trying to make that happen, it will not happen. You see, the devil wants the Great Tribulation. That was going to be his final victory, where he forced the whole world to worship him, and he could throw that in the face of God and see, they chose me over you. So you go ahead and destroy us all. This is my victory. And you will have to live with that for eternity. You see, the devil has been victorious since the Garden of Eden. Hey, look at it.
He has gotten used to winning.
He has won because the people have chosen that they would rather worship lies than truth. But only a few people do that knowingly. It is true that most of all the Christians worship a lie. They're not worshiping Satan per se, but their worship has been affected by teachings from the evil one. Just like happened in Israel. But God must know that when the people hear the truth about him, that they will make the decision to cleanse their soul of all lies and fill their soul with the truth. But the circumstances are going to be different. See, on the death reality road, it looks like the righteous would go to heaven, in the heavens where God dwells, for 1,000 years. And then come down here where the wicked would be resurrected in the second resurrection. They would see a record of their lives and they would agree that they were guilty of treason. And the second death, which is the lake of fire, the wicked would be cast in there along with Satan and all of his demonic host. And then God would live here with us. But what it looks like now is the Son of God comes back like a thief in the night. And he comes to the faithful, trustworthy, wise enough servant. because he is continuing to feed his fellow servants, giving them their spiritual food, proper time, in the proper reality. And at that time, he will, as I expect him to do, give the instructions that we find in Revelation 10. Revelation 10, let me get over to it. Let's do 8 through 11. Then I heard the voice I had heard from heaven speaking to me again. Go, it said. Take that open scroll out of the hand of the angel standing on the sea and the land. I went to the angel and asked him to give me the small scroll, and he said, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will taste as sweet as honey. So I took it out of the angel's hand and swallowed it. It was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you are to prophesy again, this time about many different nations and countries and languages and emperors. Many different. What I see there, coupled with the seven thunders that John heard earlier in chapter 10, and he was about to write down what the seven thunders had said, and he was stopped before he could write. Don't write them down. Why would God do something like that? He'd never done anything like that before. Never given a prophet a message, and then said, don't write it down. And I find it significant, if not interesting, why would God tell John, or why would he have the seven thunders, which would be the voice of God, giving him some information and then telling him not to write it down? He wrote down the fact that he heard seven thunders and that he was told, he was about ready to write it down and was told not to write it down. He said that. He wrote it down. Why? I believe that God wanted us to know that the information in Revelation may not necessarily happen. That everything that was described in Revelation was not concerning the same future reality, but concerned death road reality and life reality. And then they end there, chapter 8 through 11. We see John, as I would, as it appears to me, he is representing the trustworthy and wise enough servant, the Elijah type prophet at the end of time, where he is given a scroll to eat, turned his stomach sour, but it was as sweet as honey in his mouth. The sweetest honey in the mouth is very easy for me to understand. It's, we're going to have peace and prosperity. That's that part of the message. It may be that not everybody will be on board with that.
The end is not for everybody.
When we read about the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven to this earth, there's a phrase there that is kind of, well, it's unusual. And it's in chapter 22, starting with verse 6. The angel said to me, "All that you have written is sure and will come true. The Lord God who gives the Spirit to the prophets has sent his angel to reveal to his servants what is about to take place. Very soon now, I shall be with you again. Happy are those who treasure the prophetic message of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and seen them all, I knelt in front of the angel who had shown me to worship him. But he said, 'Do not do that. I am a servant just like you and like your brothers, the prophets, and like those who treasure what you have written in this book. It is God that you are to worship.' This too he said to me, 'Do not keep the prophecies in this book a secret, because the time is close. Meanwhile,'" here it is, "'let the sinner go on sinning, and the unclean continue to be unclean. Let those who do good go on doing good, and those who are holy continue to be holy. Very soon now I shall be with you again, bringing the reward to be given to every man according to what he deserves. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Happy are those who will have washed their robes clean, so that they will have the right to feed on the tree of life and can come through the gates into the city. These others must stay outside: dogs, fortune tellers, fornicators, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone of false speech and false life." There may be the explanation of the sour stomach from the message. I don't know. It's just a guess. But it looks like when the holy city comes down, that there will be sinners that may go on sinning. the unclean that may go on being unclean. And this may go on for the 1,000 years when the devil is confined in the abyss. And when he is released from the abyss, the final judgment will occur. And all those whom have been absorbed into God's kingdom will have eternal life. And all those who have refused will experience the same fate as the devil. I'm not saying that for sure, but that's how it looks. So I would not have known that there were two realities, and the one we were in is not the one I thought or expected we would be in. The only reason that I could do that is because I had put together a chart that showed me when it would end, and therefore it showed me when it would begin. And now we have passed two of the beginning dates, and I am certain we are not in the death road reality. Even though the devil is trying to force it, he will not be successful. We are in the life road reality, and I expect that very soon evil will have finally and completely lost, if it has not lost already. These are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all. I have posted on our Facebook page the article by Rick Sterling called "The God's Biblical Timing of the End," and below that I have also posted the timing chart that is related to that writing, and you can go there and take a look at that and understand why we believe we are where we are in time, because nothing today fits that chart. We encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy Sabbath, a good day, and we'll see you all next time. So long for now.